One of our community values here at Vox is hearing from a wide diversity of voices, both in and outside of our community. And so I have the treat this morning to introduce the person that's going to be opening the scriptures with us. Reverend Melanie Jones has been here with us before, and we're excited to have her back this morning. I have had the pleasure of being a student in Melanie's, one of her theology classes, and a colleague on the faculty at the Seminary of the Southwest, and have just come to really love and appreciate her and her friendship. She is a theologian, she's a preacher, she's an activist, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what she has to share with us this morning. So could you please join me in giving a warm welcome to Reverend Melanie Jones.
Good morning. Again, I'm so excited to be back here with you and to have this time to share in the scriptures. Will you pray with me this morning? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us. Open our eyes so that we might see. Open our ears so that we might hear. Open our hearts so that we might receive. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Hear ye the word of the Lord in Mark 1, 14 through the 15th verse. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. Or some versions say, now is the time. He said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. For a moment, I want us to build on the subject, now is the time. On January 1st, 1863, as the nation approached the third year of the Civil War, the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, signed the Emancipation Proclamation, or the Proclamation 95, which was the legal document, the presidential edict, and the executive order, putting an end to chattel slavery and declaring enslaved Africans in America as free. The proclamation professed that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious, mostly the Southern Confederate states, are and henceforth shall be free. But historians reveal that the real reason for signing the Emancipation Proclamation by President Lincoln was not to free the people who were evicted from their homelands and trafficked to American soil as cargo on ships since 1699, but it was signed to put an end to the Civil War and settle the divide of the North versus the South on the matter of labor, property, and production. As a scholar, I've always been fascinated by the irony of its naming as the Emancipation Proclamation, because the document represents America's duplicitous lip service on the matter of freedom with all words but no deeds. The freedom that many free and enslaved blacks anticipated in the North and the South the night before December 31st, 1862 was not the freedom that they realized on the morning of January 1st, 1863, as some Union border and rebellious states failed to comply to Lincoln's order and the Civil War persisted. The truth is, the Emancipation Proclamation gave permission to enlist black soldiers in the Civil War to support Union troops, which is already another reminder that America has looked to the oppressed of the land to redeem the soul of a sin-sick nation. 2 years later, at the end of the war in 1865, illegalized chattel slavery on paper became no longer legalized, but it was not in practice, as some black folk right here in Texas did not know they were free until 2 months after the end of the Civil War. On June 19, 1865, when Union General Gordon Granger rode into Galveston, Texas with 2,000 Union troops to read the Order Number 3, which freed 250,000 slaves. Thus, it is that day that marked the day of emancipation for Black people, and that day is known as Juneteenth. Though newly freed, folks sought to bring in the tide of freedom with singing and dancing, many of them were discouraged from celebrating. Every year, this time of the year, America celebrates its independence. On July 4th, marking the declaration or the ratification of the Declaration of Independence by the 13 colonies. Perhaps you know it, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. An affirmation that was written by Americans' founding fathers that only included some people in this nation and certainly excluded women, children, and the racially marginalized. Freedom did not begin for many of us on July 4th, but on Juneteenth. And if we are true, then folks have only been free-ish since June 19, 1865. Because when slavery reached emancipation in America, we were introduced to what historian Douglas Blackman calls slavery by another name, with sharecropping and the broken promise of 40 acres and a mule when Jim and Jane Crow ruled. More than a century following the Emancipation Proclamation, the year of 1963, the monumental moment for America when the Civil Rights Movement was launched and the nonviolent protests against segregation began in Birmingham, Alabama, led by the young preacher and scholar Martin Luther King Jr. From the prison cell in Birmingham, where King was arrested for his resistance efforts, King penned the letter from Birmingham jail to confront Alabama clergymen who claimed their efforts or the efforts of the protesters were unwise and untimely. Later that year, in his famous I Have a Dream speech at the 1963 March on Washington, King spoke of the fierce urgency of now, and why Americans could no longer wait for justice and equality. He spoke it with the refrain, "Now is the time." King proclaimed, quote, "This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation, from the sunlit path of racial injustice. Now is the time to lift our country and this nation from the quicksands to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all God's children." King's prophetic charge influenced the book Why We Can't Wait, that recounted the pivotal year and brought into the forefront the legal maxim that justice delayed is justice denied. So I am struck this morning, the last day of June, as the Juneteenth observance ends and as the 4th of July celebrations begin, as I realize that the constraints of freedom in America today are largely because there is a difference between emancipation and liberation. Emancipation represents the release or being loose from unfavorable conditions of oppression, but liberation is double-edged, requiring not just release, but also reparation. In Ta-Nehisi Coates' classic essay, The Case for Reparation, Coates' opening tagline explains why reparations are necessary, 250 years of slavery, 90 years of Jim Crow, 60 years of separate but equal, 35 years of racist housing policy, until we reckon with our compounding moral debts, America will never be whole. As a global superpower built on the ideology of democracy and freedom, the least America could do is live into its ideal of liberty and justice for all by not just giving release to the oppressed with social equality, but repairing the breach with economic equity. Though 2019 marks 150 years since the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, 154 years since the first Juneteenth, 56 years since King's famous speech, and 51 years since King's assassination, the struggle for freedom and equality with equal citizenship and equal pay is far from over. A 2019 report entitled Dreams Deferred, How Enriching the 1% Widens the Racial Wealth Divide, reminds us that white median families, today's wealth is $146,984, which marks a 30% increase in the last 30 years, but Latinx and Black median household wealth persists at the poverty level. Particularly, Black median families have fared the worst in the last 33 years, plummeting from a record high of $12,000 in wealth now to $1,700 in 2013. And this reality projects a zero wealth by 2082, lest we forget. As James Baldwin once said, there is never a time in the future in which we will work out our salvation. The challenge is in the moment. The time is always now. This is where we land ourselves in the text this morning. The book of Mark represents the shortest accounts of the gospel writings and perhaps the first written. Mark is a peculiar gospel to many of us, because it begins with no genealogy or birth narrative of Jesus. Mark's gospel is quick and straight to the point, beginning in Mark 1 with the hype man for Jesus, named as John the Baptist, crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Jesus immediately goes into 40 days of temptation. The beginning of Mark's gospel with Jesus in the wilderness is symbolic of Mark's overall theme of Jesus as the suffering servant. Mark's central thesis is captured in one verse: "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom or as liberation for many." Jesus came with a heart of service, but he was often met with great suffering. Jesus began his public ministry at the tender age of just 30 years old. And I imagine if Jesus was preaching right now at 30 years old, I reckon Jesus might have been called a millennial. He was unconventional in his approach. He was known for healing the sick and raising the dead, touching the lepers, casting out demons, and teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath. They questioned whether he was the one who was following the law, but Jesus said, "I came to fulfill the law." Jesus was known for calling institutions to greater accountability. It was Jesus who went into the temple and scattered the coins of the money changers and turned over tables, saying, "It is written, this house, my house, shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." And in true millennial fashion, Jesus had followers way before Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or Snapchat. Jesus was known to have a multitude of followers who traveled with him. Jesus was a traveling preacher, so it is likely that a large crowd came to witness him from Austin and from Pflugerville, from Manor and from Cedar Park, from Round Rock and from Georgetown, all across San Antonio and Houston and Dallas. Perhaps you remember in Mark 5, with the woman with the issue of blood who pressed her way to see Jesus in the midst of the crowd, and despite the large gathering, she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." The large crowd following Jesus was a sign that Jesus' ministry of liberation was not just for a chosen few, but the redeeming gospel of Jesus Christ is for all who desire to know and believe. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. Now is the time. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The text reminds us, after John was put in prison, that a reading of John's imprisonment gives us new perspective in this age of mass incarceration, or what Michelle Alexander calls the new Jim Crow, where we must confront the fact that not everyone in prison is jailed because they did something wrong. In fact, slavery is not extinct in a contemporary era, as the pipeline to prison exposes modern day slavery and human trafficking persists in this nation for Black and brown bodies. John was put in prison for preaching the gospel and preparing the way for the Savior to come. John's imprisonment is a reminder that being prophetic has the potential to get you locked up. It is radical, audacious, not all glitz and glamour kind of work. Ask Joseph, it will put you in the pit before you reach the palace. Ask David, it will place you in the cave before you ever reach the temple. Ask Elijah, you will be on the run. And if you ask Jesus a little bit later, Calvary may happen before you ever see glory. John's imprisonment, facing trumped up charges for justice seeking by a not so great America, I mean Roman government, Jesus announces his public ministry in Mark 1 and 14. Now is the time. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. John was locked up for resisting the Roman social order. Jesus would be crucified for rearranging the religious or political order. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of God that Jesus was announcing, was concerned more about a holistic societal communal transformation rather than individual salvation. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee. This is a reminder that there are folks who go before us. Sometimes trailblazers face the brunt of rough and rocky terrain, tragic conditions, and the dangers of adversity. But if John had not gone before Jesus, no one would be able to know the potential of what Jesus could really do. John creates a path for Jesus to come behind him. John went before Jesus to make his path straight. Thank God for the Johns who went before us so that we could be who we are. I'm glad Harriet ran for freedom so that we could know what it means to resist. I'm glad Rosa Parks sat down on the bus so we can sit anywhere. I'm glad that college students in the 1960s sat down at lunch counters despite brutalization so that we could enter restaurants, public restrooms, and movie theaters in the front and not the back. I'm so glad. But even my own grandmother did what she could for our family, working as a domestic so that others could come behind us. There are folks who come before us. John came before Jesus to prepare his way. And thank God for those who come before us, because it is those stories, or their stories, that give us a lesson of a pathway forward for the numerous generations who come after. Jesus, the text says, goes into Galilee, heads into Galilee, a place where a number of Jesus's miracles take place. It is the land of his hometown of Nazareth. He goes into Galilee to gather disciples. Jesus understood that he could not do this work alone. Preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel is never a solo mission. We need someone to walk with us, to journey with us, to make us accountable. Jesus goes into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, but goes into Galilee in order to rally up those folks who were on the edges of society, to break down the social barriers and to enliven the reign of God. And when Jesus makes it to Galilee, Jesus announces, now is the time. Kingdom of God represents God's order is at hand. And this is no way to think of God as some lofty, bloodthirsty, greedy, narcissistic ruler, but our God is the lifter of heads, the one who calls us into community and solidarity with each other. Jesus goes into Galilee proclaiming good news that this God would be the King of glory, the one who opens doors and does not lord over us, but liberates us. So, tells the people, now is the time. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Whenever we hear the words repent, we are so easily to think about individual sins, but we have some communal repentance to do. Repent of our nation as a terrorizing nation, and that the war on terror has begun with the terrorization of bodies on this soil, First Nation peoples and marginalized communities. We have to repent for the ways we have destroyed and ravaged the earth for our own ease of comfort. Repent for the ways we've been seduced by neoliberal capitalist power that celebrates a do-it-yourself culture and suggests we don't need anybody else. Repent for our decisions not to resist a seditious ruler who would rather build walls than bridges of reconciliation. We have some repenting to do. But repent is matched with belief. Believe, Jesus says, the good news. What's the good news? That Jesus, the suffering servant, was born in Nazareth, a place where everybody that nobody thought of value or worth could come from. Jesus, the good news that Jesus was the miracle worker who healed folk who had leprosy that everybody thought nobody could heal. Jesus was the hope dealer that restored the man with a withered hand and made his life whole. Jesus was the one whom God's favor rested upon, who called a girl child from her sleep when the people around her thought she was dead. Jesus, the Jesus movement is built on the foundation of Jesus doing radical love and exercising revolutionary justice. We must believe in the good news. The question is, if now is the time, do you know what time it really is? On Sunday, January 2019, Vice President Mike Pence appeared on CBS Face the Nation, quoting King's words, "Now is the time to make real the promise of democracy." In a gross attempt to compare President Trump and King's efforts as synonymous, to encourage Congress to come together for legislative actions to end the longest government shutdown and rally support for securing the wall at the southern border. In the words of Childish Gambino, this is America. A nation that continues to serve the rest of us a bad check from a morally bankrupt economy of justice. Thus, Jesus announced it then, and I announce it today. Now is the time for justice to roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Now is the time for God's people to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Now is the time for us to humble ourselves, pray, and seek the Lord's favor, to turn from our wicked ways. Now is the time to let God arise and let God's enemies be scattered. Now is the time to go into all the world and cry loud, repent, and believe the good news to every creature. Now is the time to do what Jesus did when he said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now is the time, as Oprah said at the Golden Globes, or the time is up for us to say no to rape culture that suggests how a person dresses defines their culture or their character. Now is the time for us to no longer be complicit, but for us to be change makers. At the crux of this sermon is simply a message for us to hashtag stay woke and avoid daydreaming or being lulled into some false sense that a past or future time is or was better for justice seeking. Jesus said, now is the time. Kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Thus, we might know in our own time that now is always, always the time for liberation. Amen.